We'll be looking at Colossians 2, verses 1 through 4 today. For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for us, as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. Paul says, I have a great conflict. I have a great conflict for those in Colossae and Laodicea. And if he was here today, he would say, for us today, for us, he would be speaking to us today. A great conflict, a struggle. Paul's spiritual warfare is spoken of in this text. He has this burden, this conflict, because of false teaching. He has specific concerns in mind, that they not be drawn away by anything. The people in the churches in those cities, that they wouldn't be drawn away by anything. They were being drawn away by false teaching, specifically the Gnostics, who obviously taught Gnosticism, and the law teachers, those that wanted to add the law of Moses to the law of Christ. Gnosticism. The word Gnostic means to know. The Gnostics pretended that they had higher knowledge of mysterious things. And the Gnostics used to love to talk of the mysteries. When somebody tells you about the mysteries, that they have all of these mysteries, that they didn't know all of these mysteries, you better run as fast as you can. The mysteries. The Gnostics, you had to really be initiated into their little club to be able to understand these mysteries. And they would always go on and on and on about the mysteries. So Paul picks up their term about mysteries in our text. And his desire is that the church might come to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, the mystery of God and the Father of Christ. The Father of Christ. Paul tells us, he told us, I should say, in the previous chapter, that Christ was in you, the hope of glory. In chapter 1, we saw in verse 27, to them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. And this is the mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The mystery is Christ in us, brothers and sisters. And he wanted the church there to be encouraged, comforted. Look at verse 2. We're back in chapter 2. So in verse 1, he says he has this great conflict for us. Any teacher or preacher that's in love with the Word of God, in love with Christ, he has a burden, there's a conflict, there's a struggle. When he sees false teaching, hears about false teaching, there's a burden, there's a conflict. Paul has this conflict. Preachers and teachers today should have this conflict, this struggle, for the brothers and sisters to know the truth. And he wanted them. He wanted their hearts to be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding. that their hearts be encouraged. He wanted them encouraged. He wanted them comforted. In the Greek, that word is associated with the Holy Spirit, and comfort. He wanted them comforted. The Greek word is paralleleo, where you hear when people speak about the Holy Spirit, about the paraclete, one that comes alongside, called to one's side. When you encourage someone, you call to one side, called to, called for, you're summoned to speak to admonish, to exhort, to beg, to beseech, to instruct, and to teach. That's why I said, any true teacher, there's a burden, there's a struggle. Their heart is broken over the false teaching, the false prophets. It breaks their heart. So they come alongside the body of Christ to encourage and to comfort. He wants their hearts to be encouraged, being knit together in love, attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ. Both of the Father and of Christ. He wants the body of Christ to be united, to be knit together in love. Unity in love. And love for what? For the truth. The truth, what truth? The truth of Jesus Christ, that Christ is all. I just read to you in the last chapter, the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He wanted these brothers and sisters to understand that Christ is all. Christ is more than enough. And when a church understands that, when a fellowship of believers understand that, there's a unity and love for the truth. Not only love by itself, but love in the truth. And as I said, what is that truth? That Christ is all. And Paul, he loves wordplay, and he's dealing with Gnostics, and he's talking about the knowledge. This is the knowledge. This is the mystery of God, quote unquote, that you need to know. Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and of knowledge. When Paul was in the midst of the church, he said all he wanted to know was Jesus Christ. He wanted to preach Christ. When there was a problem in the Corinthian church, what did he do? He came and he preached Christ. Look at 2 Corinthians 4, verses 1 through 6. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. And let me tell you, it's easy to lose heart when the struggling conflict is going on in the church of Jesus Christ. We do not lose heart, but we have renounced the hidden things of shame. Not walking in craftiness, handling the word of God deceitfully. You see the word deceitfully there. Craftiness, deceitfully. But by manifestations of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it's veiled. It is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, see, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God? Jesus Christ, the very image of God, Emmanuel, God with us, should shine on him. Verse 5, very important verse. For we do not preach ourselves. The Gnosticism was about themselves, that they had this special knowledge. Only they could understand the mysteries of God. You had to go to them. It's the same today. You have certain people that, oh, we have all the truth. We're the only ones with the truth. You got to come to us. We'll reveal the truth. We'll reveal the mysteries. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord. And ourselves, your bondservants, for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge. You want knowledge? Of the glory of God in the face of Christ. The struggle to preach Christ. Christ, Christ, Christ. Labor and striving of speaking of Christ. Who is Paul struggling for? All believers, all throughout the ages, in Colossae, in Laodicea, in Ephesians, in Rome, in Philippians, in Philippi, in all of the churches, that their hearts would be encouraged, knit together. And what? In the full assurance. They would grow in love and truth, in their understanding and knowledge. Back to Colossians 2. That their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God. Brothers and sisters, the mystery is Christ, and Christ has been revealed. The mystery of God is that everything is Christ. Christ is all. And when you understand this, you will have a full assurance. You won't be up and down in your understanding about the assurance that we have in Jesus Christ. Paul's writing his book, battling false doctrine about the Gnosticism and the Lord teaches that Christ is all. And when you understand Christ is all, you will have a full assurance of your salvation, a full assurance of what Christ has done for you, a full assurance that you're united with Christ, that you have been justified, that you've been sanctified, that you've been glorified, that you have been reckoned righteous, you've been counted as righteous before Almighty God. Christ, Christ, growing in the love and the truth and the understanding and knowledge, full assurance of Christ and all that he is. Everything is in Christ. Paul is telling these believers that the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are found in Christ and Christ alone, being knit together in love and attaining to all riches of the full assurance. Do you not want full assurance? Do you not want full assurance that you are right with Almighty God? What a peace it brings to you. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Now we're going to get peace. We have peace with God. There's no mysteries here. There's no higher knowledge. The mystery of God is Christ and Christ alone. And Christ alone brings full assurance. The mystery of God. Everything is Christ. The mystery is Christ. The true treasures of wisdom and knowledge are found in Christ and Christ alone. The false teachers were saying, yes, Christ, yes, yes, Christ. But that's what the problem is. That was the problem in Ephesus, the problem in Rome, the problem in Galatia, the problem in Philippi. It was the same thing. It was the problem in Acts 15 where the Judaizers said that, yes, the Gentiles are saved, but they have to keep the law of Moses. They have to keep the old covenant. And it's the same today. Yes, yes, Christ, yes, yes, Christ. But also, and you fill in the blank. People are always saying, yes, Christ, but also, and you fill in the blank. You fill in the blank with our creeds, with our confessions, with our denominations, with our philosophies, with our systematic theology. Yes, Christ, but you also need this. Christ is all, brothers and sisters. Christ is no Christ, but, and also. Also, all the treasures are in Christ, not also. And notice what it says. In whom, verse 3 of Colossians 2, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and understanding and knowledge. Verse 4. Very important. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. I just read to you in 2 Corinthians 4 that it says, do not be deceived. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 2. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. There's a lot of crafty people today. There's a lot of deceitful people. Just turn on your television set and put on some Christian quote-unquote network, and you'll see one false teacher after the next, after the next, after the next. False prophets are abounding in our land. Abounding here in the West. False teachers, craftiness, handling the word of God deceitfully. But if you would read your Bible, would you understand your Bible, would you be taught properly, you will understand that Christ is all. And he's point blank. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. Words, persuasive words. They sound good, they look good, they tickle your ears, they tell you what you want to hear. They talk good. Persuasive words. And what's he saying? Lest anyone deceive you. He wouldn't tell you to watch out lest anyone deceive you if you couldn't be deceived. If you don't think you can be deceived, you're deceived already. All the treasures in Christ. Christ is all, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Christ and Christ alone. Christ is not Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's not Christ, yeah, but also it is Christ alone. Do not be deceived. Are you looking for Christ plus? Do you not believe that Christ alone is simply enough? Have you been deceived? Have you listened to the Gnostics of our age? Have you listened to the law teachers? Have you said yes to, we gotta abide by this? These rules, these laws, these philosophies, these creeds, these confessions, these systems, these denominations, it's Christ plus. Have you been deceived? Are you looking for Christ plus? And that word deceived means you reckoning something wrong. It's the exact opposite of the word that Paul used in Romans 6, verse 11. Paul's telling you about sanctification in Romans 6, verse 11. And he says, likewise also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. If you're struggling with sin, you must reckon yourself to be dead unto sin. You must reckon, you must count, you must consider this to be true. And deceive is the exact opposite of that. Deceived is you're reckoning wrong. You're miscounting. You're being cheated by false reckoning, by false teachers. It's the exact opposite of that Greek word that's used in Romans 6:11. That word logizomai. That's the word, depending on what translation you have, either reckon or consider. It's where we get the word log, logistics, about writing it down. Writing it down. And deceive is just the opposite. You're considering something to be true that's not true. You're reckoning something to be true that's not true. You're logging it in your mind that this is true and it's not true. You're being deceived because it's Christ alone and that's it. It's not Christ, but Christ also. Yes, Christ and go on and on and on. And that, brothers and sisters, is throughout the body of Christ. Never mind those outside the body of Christ. Satan has blinded them. They can't see. But the Lord said that he has opened our eyes to the truth. He who has been set free by the Son is free indeed. Everything, brothers and sisters, is in Christ. What did the Father say? Hear him. Listen to him. What did Christ say? Follow me. Follow me. Listen to me. You have heard it said, but I say to you, what is Christ saying to you today? Have you been deceived? Or do you even think it's possible that you can be deceived? And my friend, if you're listening today and you've never come to Jesus Christ, you are deceived. You are deceived. You've reckoned it to be true that this is it. This is the only life. I'm going to live it to the fullest. I'm going to eat, drink, and be merry for tomorrow I die. I'm going to try to get everything I can. All the money, all the pleasure, all the accolades, all the glory, all the fame. You've bought into the lie that this is it. For tomorrow we die. You bought into the lie that Christ is not enough, or that Christ didn't exist, or Christ was a false teacher, or that it's Christ isn't enough, it's Buddha, it's Hinduism, it's Muhammad. What have you bought into today? Have you bought into the lie? There is a day coming that each and every man will stand before Christ in judgment. It's appointed unto men once to die and then the judgment. And you will be judged by Jesus Christ. You will be found guilty. For all of us have sinned before God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Christ said, repent and believe, for the kingdom of God has come. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. You cannot be saved by your works. That's what the false teachers teach, that you can be saved by your works. How many have taught, yes, I understand you're saved by grace, but you're saved by faith, you're saved by grace through faith, but you have to add your works. You have to follow these rules, these regulations, these creeds, these confessions, our denomination, our tribe, our plus, and you add to that. There's no brothers and sisters adding for Christ. Adding to Christ. Christ is all. I would beg with you and plead with you. I have this great conflict. I struggle. My heart breaks over the fact that Christ is not enough. It's so many systems, so many schemes. It's Christ plus that celebrity teacher, that celebrity preacher, that special group, the ones that have all the understanding, and somehow they'll have you believe that there's no leaven in their teaching. There's leaven in everybody's teaching. There's leaven in my teaching. Every one of us are men, and men at best. And you haven't heard a preacher, a teacher, read a book, been associated with any organization, adhered to any creeds, any confessions, any fill in the blank, that there's not some kind of leaven somewhere in there. But you know what? There's no leaven in Christ and Christ alone. Christ is the mystery of God. This mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. And you might have heard things today. You didn't like what you heard. It offended you. It cut to your heart. You must ask yourself, but is it the truth that I heard? Or do you want to hear persuasive words that tickle your ears? Do you want to continue on in the foolishness that you have been adhering to, that somehow it's Christ plus? All of the scripture is about Christ. Christ, Christ, Christ. Christ is all. Do not be deceived.